This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Well, hello again, and welcome to the Invisible War Radio Ministry. I'm Kevin Harris, and again, we're joined today by Dr. Rob Randall, who is the author of the book by the same title as this radio program, The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy. We want to thank you for being here today, whether this is your first time or if you're a regular listener. Thank you so much for joining us. Special program today, Dr. Randall. We're going to hear a testimony from a fighting grandma, and this is really compelling. She was fighting for her family, and she just really had to do what the scripture says about spiritual warfare.
What a joy it is to share this wonderful message by a sweet friend. Norm and Beverly Code are here in the North Texas area. They served as Southern Baptist missionaries in Africa for 18 years. This is where they learned their spiritual warfare. But they came back to the States, as you will hear, to learn how to fight for their own children and grandchildren. And so you will be blessed to hear this wonderful, wonderful intercessor tell her story of how the Lord led her into the spiritual battles.
And we want to remind everyone, as you're listening today, go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, and get your own copy of The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy. It's published by 21st Century Press. You can also call 877-808-8886. That's toll-free, 877-808-8886. Now, we'll have some closing comments from Dr. Randall at the end of this program, but right now, let's hear from Beverly Code, fighting for your family.
The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's moving and shaking and breathing and acting, okay? If it says it's powerful, now I'm going to use Dr. Vaught's interpretation. He said that that word in Greek means that it has the power of all the atomic bombs that we could ever produce and more. Now, is that powerful? I believe it is. Okay, so it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's sharper than any cutting instrument that man can devise. And it says it acts on three things. What are they? The soul and the spirit, okay? And it works in the mind. So let's say that again. The Word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Blessed be the Lord who gave us that promise. Now, if you had known me growing up and as a young married woman in Arkansas, you would know that I wasn't a very spiritual person. I was pretty physical. By that I mean, Lord, just let me enjoy my family, the gorgeous scenery in Arkansas. Let me enjoy my church, singing in the choir, teaching a Sunday school class, watching my kids grow up, going to see Granny once every month or so. And then one day, call me home. That's the good life. Woo-wee! That's what I want. Well, the Lord didn't leave me in Arkansas. Sometimes I wish I had that back, you know? Kind of like the Israelites looked back and said, man, I wish we had those onions and garlic and stuff that were back in Egypt. But it doesn't last too long. The Lord called us to missions. Norman told you we had to come to the seminary and get some theology so we wouldn't mess up anything over there. And so he took the theology and I typed all of his papers and I began to read these books that he brought home, hundreds of them, about the devil and dealing with demons and all that spooky stuff. And I thought, he has fallen off the world. I'm not going in that place. And so the more I read and the more I typed his papers, and I mean, you know, when you're typing a paper, you really get into what the words say, right? So Norman began to lead as a spiritual leader of our house into a world that I didn't want to enter at all. But I figured I better learn a little bit because we were going overseas. So, you know, I kind of followed him about 10 miles behind. You know, he's going to be the one out there doing all this stuff. And I'll just kind of go, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, from way back here. So we were on the mission field 18 years and came home. And much to our shock and dismay, we discovered that the enemy had ravaged our adult children. Now this, Mama, you mess around with my kids and I'm coming after you. And so I got before the Lord and I said, Lord, you taught David how to take care of a flock of sheep with a slingshot. And he killed a bear and he took care of that flock of sheep. And then one day, when the children of Israel were absolutely in their tracks and couldn't even pick up a sword because Goliath, the enemy, had intimidated them so bad, David marched right up and he said in his face, how dare you insult my God? How dare you come against the God of the children of Israel? Who do you think you are? I'm coming after you and I'm going to have your head. And he picked up 5 smooth stones from a river and he went out to meet the giant. And the giant laughed at him. Well, hey, you little pipsqueak, who do you think you are? And he picked up one rock and he put it in his sling. And he said, you're not going to insult my God anymore. And he began to sling that sling around. And boy, he let that rock go. And I proclaim to you, because he wouldn't put up with any demon from hell who inhabited a giant insulting his God, I propose to you that, yes, he had human power in that rock when he let it go, but I tell you the power of Almighty God drove that rock straight in the forehead of that giant and out the back of his head, and he fell dead. And I'm here to tell you today, the same God who lived in David as a youth lives in you and you and you and you and you and you and me. Now, when the enemy came after my kids, I walked up to him and I said, how dare you insult my God? Because the word says that when we come and believe that the Lord Jesus is the King of Kings, the only begotten Son of the only living God, then you have no power. You are defeated. And so I said, God, I don't know how to fight this battle, but teach my hands how to do war and my fingers how to fight. That's in Psalms. And the Lord said, on your knees, on your knees. My heart was broken and I was mad. How many of you have kids? If somebody beats up on your kid, does that stir something inside you? You better believe it. But when Lucifer beats up on your kids, I tell you, don't roll over and crawl in under your bed and weep like you are helpless and hopeless, I say in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and fight. You have all of the weapons that are necessary to defeat any foe that is in this earth, physical or invisible. Now, do you believe that?
Amen.
That's what the Word just said. It's alive. It is alive. Are y'all alive?
Yes.
Well, say praise God or something. Oh, wow. I'm telling you. The first thing he told me, on your knees. At that time, we had come home from the mission field. We discovered this horrendous pit from hell in our family. So we resigned from the mission board, and we said, we're going to take care of this pit. We are not going to receive the report of the enemy as the final say.
Amen.
He's a liar. He's a deceiver.
Yes.
He destroys and kills.
Yes.
And twists the truth. He is the biggest sound and light show you'll ever see in your life. Have y'all ever been to a sound and light show?
Yes. Yes.
Man, they can make you think there's lots of stuff up there that's real and it's all illusion. Satan is the greatest deceiver there is.
Yes.
And that's why we need the girdle of truth around our loins. His truth, not this world's rotten truth. We need his breastplate of righteousness. We need his shoes of the gospel on our feet and the helmet of salvation on our head.
Yes.
The Lord told me to pray that every single day.
Yes.
And so I got up and I would say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I put on the girdle of truth on my loins.
Yes.
And I die to every single lie that is being perpetrated in my family.
Yes.
I will speak the truth of the Word of God over my family, and I'll speak it until I see it come true with my eyes.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I put on the breastplate of His righteousness. I'm clean. I'm pure. I can enter into the throne room of God and have His ear at any time of the day or night.
Yes.
24/7, all year long, all my life long, and He will listen to me because I have a breastplate of righteousness. I have a helmet of salvation, and I would say every day, Lord, I don't want Beverly Code's thoughts. I don't want the devil's thoughts. I don't want what the world teaches. I want a brand new mind, and I want to have the thoughts of Jesus just flooding my mind. That's what I want. And I will set no unholy thing before these eyes. You know, a helmet has something that protects the eyes. And the Word says, don't set any unholy thing in front of your eyes. Now, if you knew that your children were being ravaged by the demons of hell, tell me what you would do. Go watch a soap to escape from their problems? Or remember the scripture, set no unholy thing in front of your eyes. If that would make you more powerful in prayer, I tell you for sure, you would choose set no unholy thing before your eyes. I'm telling you, this brain is a computer that puts all of the IBMs to shame. You can smell something and it'll trigger something in your brain, and the next thing you know, you've got this video playing in your mind of your grandmother baking bread on a wood stove in an old rundown shack in North Arkansas. I mean, this brain stores everything. Everything, whether you're consciously aware of it or not. So that was one of the things that the Lord told me to do. Set no unholy thing in front of your eyes. Be on your knees. Now, I spent time in prayer, but not like this. Ladies and gentlemen, I spent virtually 6 months on my knees without getting up, except to go to the bathroom and cook meals. The Lord would not let me up. And you say, my goodness, how could you think of that much to pray? The Holy Spirit just prayed through me.
Amen.
And I couldn't even tell you what He prayed.
Oh,
because He knew what was after my son He knew what was after my daughter. He knew the plans of the enemy. And this same thing happens in our counseling office. In Burleson. Norman's the one that does all the work. I mean, he gets in the trenches. He hears all the garbage. And I sit out there at my desk and I cry and I hold up the Word.
Yes.
And the Lord will give me a chapter or a verse from the Word. And He'll say, pray this for that person in there.
Yes.
Now, there's no way that I can know what's going on in there, because by law, everything in there has to be confidential. So He discusses absolutely nothing with me. And when I do the files, I do the billing, the notes get folded back like this, and I just deal with the financial billing, which is very boring. But anyway, I sit there and I say, Lord, what can I pray? What can I do to make that work that's going on in there more effective?
Yes.
And He will tell me, and I will pray whatever it is. And sometimes the people are in there maybe an hour and a half. They come out and there I am, streaming tears down my face. And they look at me and, what is wrong with you? Norman said, oh, she's just praying. You know, she's just praying. So for those first two or three years, when we came back from Africa, the Lord had me on my knees more than standing up. And sometimes I was prostrate on the floor. It's just whatever the Holy Spirit put in my mind and heart. That's what I tried to do. Regardless of how off the wall it seemed to others. And another thing the Lord told me to do, get you a group of prayer warriors and pray regularly with them. And at that time, we were going to church, and there were several women in there who prayed. And so I went to the leader and told her, I said, I've got this burden on my heart. It's about to crush me and kill me. Would y'all help me carry it? And so once a week, I believe it was on Tuesday, we met together in a lady's home. Well, at first, they were just sitting there, you know, listening to Beverly Code talk about her prayer burden and the burden for her children and all that. And the next thing I knew, this woman said, well, my son is so-and-so. And this woman over here would say, well, my daughter is such-and-such, or my granddaughter is such-and-such. Well, it moved from being about Beverly Code and her family to being about all of those families in that room. And we mamas and grandmothers fought for our kids and our grandkids on our knees.
Amen.
And we reminded the enemy with the Word of God that he is a defeated foe. And I'm telling you, those were powerful times. Powerful times. Well, then my husband, who had completely changed his doctorate, he had finished classes for a doctorate in missions and evangelism. And we brought home two big trunks from Africa with years of research that he was going to use to write his dissertation. And when we found out that there was a pit of hell in our family, he scrapped the whole thing and changed to counseling. He said, I'm going to find what's the matter with my family. And so we packed up their whole family, kit and caboodle, son, daughter-in-law, daughter, Norman and me. We flew to Idaho, to Elijah House, run by John and Paula Sanford. And if you've not ever heard of them, get on their website. Their materials, which they share so freely with ministers and anyone else, they ministered to our family. And that started a long journey that has gone on to this very day. And we got back from there, and my husband looked me straight in the eye, and he said, Beverly, you better take care of the issues in your life, or you're going to be dead. And I said to him, and what about you, buddy?
Come on, man.
The sweet and gracious and godly woman that I am. Well, he said that to me several more times, and I said to him one day, I said, okay, I will take care of what you're talking about when I finish supporting you to get your doctorate and you can support me, I'll take care of my issues. Another gracious, godly, submissive woman. But I was so overwhelmed by everything I was trying to take care of, I just felt like I couldn't do it. Well, number one, I didn't have time. I was working 14 hours a day, and then on the weekend at church all the time. That's another thing that makes us weak Christians, is that every minute of every single day is taken up doing ministry and work. And we don't have time to get before the Lord and let Him minister to us.
Amen.
So I challenge everyone in this room, including myself, because we work 14 hours a day, 5 days a week. I challenge you, get before the Lord, give Him your schedule, say, what do you want me to whack out? Anyway, make a long story short, we left our home in Saginaw, put all of our stuff in storage, moved to Weatherford to live in a one-room studio apartment, and I got with the Lord. And I've heard Rob say, this is a painful journey. But listen, y'all, I couldn't think of any sins I had. You know, if He had given me the sin list way back then, I wouldn't have seen any sins. I mean, you know, I was a dedicated Southern Baptist. I was a missionary in Africa for 18 years. I served my husband submissively. And so I couldn't see any sins in my life. So here's how I started. Lord, I need a sin consciousness that has been eroded through the years of my life. Oh, brother, did He give it to me?
What an amazing testimony and stuff that we all need to hear, Dr. Randall. And, you know, you can tell there that we didn't get to everything, so we're going to have to continue this into our next program. But thank you for introducing to us Beverly Code and her story.
What a privilege it has been. We look forward to the conclusion of this wonderful message next week. I want to encourage all of our listeners to tell others about this program, about Beverly Code's testimony. Nothing will stir a mama up more. Nothing will stir a grandmama up more than the enemy messing with their children. And we live in a time where the enemy is messing with our children. I want to encourage everyone, you are not a victim. If you are in Christ, you are a victor. We do not fight toward victory. We fight from the victory. But we must take our journey into cleansing. Remember, it's the prayer of a righteous man that avails much. So if we are to battle for our children, we must walk in holiness and righteousness. So I want to encourage everyone today, would you go to that secret place, the secret places of your fears, of your wounds, of your sorrows, the things that you really don't want to deal with? There you will find hindrances in your prayer life. Let me encourage you today to go there. Would you give me the privilege of praying with you today? Let me pray with you right now. Make an altar right where you are, and let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust You today. Lord, I thank You that You are greater than our hurts, our sorrows, our wounds. Your name is above all other names. And Lord, I pray right now that the Spirit of Almighty God would intercede in our behalf, even with those words that we cannot utter. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would put our families, our children, our sons, our daughters, our grandsons, our granddaughters, put them, Lord, in the circle of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I ask You, O God, to meet them in that circle. You are our healer. You are our Savior. And You are our deliverer. Lord, if You do not heal, no one will be healed. If You do not deliver, no one will be delivered. And if You do not save, we will all perish. So, Lord, we call upon You to do the greatest work in our families, in our children's lives, for Your greatest glory. And we will praise You forever. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. If you've joined me in prayer just now, we'd like to hear from you. Let us know specifically the names of those children, those grandchildren, Let us know of your concerns. Visit us at theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. There are places there you can give us your prayer requests, or you can call us toll free 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting and your prayer of the Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.